may have your presence more and more and more. More of your presence. More of your presence. Come on, talk to the Lord this evening. Don't be quiet. More of your presence. More and more and more of your presence. Tell him. Tell him more of your presence. Open your mouth, please. Don't be quiet. The presence of God is here this evening. From the moment I stepped into this auditorium, you could feel that tangible presence of the Lord. Say, Lord, more of your presence. That singer said, Lord, set my heart on fire for you. Different kinds of prayers we need to learn to pray. Different types of prayer. And one of them is a prayer of consecration. I tell people all the time, the prayer of consecration is a prayer you must pray consistently all life long. That song, that statement is a prayer of consecration. Set my heart on fire. Songs like, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice as it told thy love to me. But now I arise on the arms of faith to be close and run to thee. Draw me near. Draw me near.
Lord, to the cross, where
thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer,
nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious healing.
You know that stanza says, consecrate me now. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by thy power of grace divine. Oh, let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in front.
Oh,
mean it from the depths of our hearts. We have not come to play religion. We have not come just for the sake of gathering. But we have come unto you. Unto you, Lord, shall the gathering of your people be. You are God in the midst of your people. You are mighty. You're mighty to save. You're mighty to heal. You're mighty to deliver. You're mighty to transform. You're mighty to inspire. You're mighty to empower. You're mighty to inform. You're mighty to elevate. You're mighty to do great and mighty things that we knew not. And this evening, our hearts are open. Since Thursday, Friday, and today, we have felt your presence. We have been receiving from you. Even this evening, since we've been here, your presence has enveloped us. And we know things have been happening in us and to us. We ask again, Lord, that before we leave here tonight, that you will do more in us by the reason of your word and your spirit. Let your name be glorified and all your people edified. Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. What an awesome presence.
All right.
We walked in and I said, you know what? Don't stop playing. Unless I tell you to. I may. We walked in and I said, what an atmosphere. You know, I've been following online and Passing Grace Assembly Lagos is one of the online, the services I watch online. Pastor Balaji, don't get jealous. Hallelujah. I started watching Ibadan too. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I just go online and say, you know, because I don't watch services live from here because it's Sunday morning, we're in church. But if ever I'm watching live, it's booster service on Thursday. You know, I do that sometimes. Sometimes I go back to watch and I must say that the Lord is here indeed, in the spirit and in his word. But you see, there's a difference between online presence and when you are there physically. I tell people, if you can be physically present, online is not really a substitute for being present with the people of God. It is an alternative, not a substitute. It's an alternative. It is, you know, the Yoruba say, "Airirala njeko, kenuma dile nitikuguru." That means, if there's nothing else to eat, I'll manage this muscle of pap. Hallelujah. So I beg you, sir. I beg you. Do not come to church. Do you hear that? Do not come to church. Just because you want to stream. If you can avoid it. There are times we can't. Sometimes we are running late from work. Times we are out of town. Happens to all of us. Hallelujah. I want to appreciate the leadership of the church. Pastor Muiwa, big ups to you. Pastor Bolaji and the crew from Ibadan. Nice having you here this evening. I was excited when Setman was introducing yesterday. I said, Ibadan people are here. Where's Professor? Professor of Sociology. Oh, congratulations. Hallelujah. Setman, thank you for having me here again this evening. Such a privilege for me and a honor for me to be here again this evening. I began to prepare for this meeting. And as I got into the word and the message began to form, so I decided that this evening We're going to be focusing on keeping on track. Right. That I'm going to explain that to keep on track, the most important thing is to know the tracks to follow. That's the first thing. If you don't know the tracks or to run on, you will not keep to track. Hallelujah. We came by rail today, and at a certain stage, the train changed tracks. So I nudged my son. I think it's just third time on this Lagos Ibadan rail. I've traversed it more than 25 times. So I nudged him. I said, look, on our right hand, there was only one rail track. Now there were about two or three. And he said, I didn't even know when the train turned. I said, it didn't turn. It just changed its track. Changed its rail. If for any reason the drivers, we call them, those who drive the train, doesn't know that the track from Abeokuta to Lagos, at a point he has to change lanes and kept going straight, he'll probably head on for a collision with another train coming from Lagos to Ibadan. Hallelujah. Right, so I was set to talk about that this evening. But as we're about to leave the hotel, by the way, Pastor Divine, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. He gave us royalty treatment. And your wife, bless you. All right, she was the first to track me. Hallelujah. And so when I would step out of the hotel, I just started feeling. You see, when I was doing all of that, I said, okay, we'll talk about the track. We'll talk about keeping on track, the track and track. Then we'll talk about managing distractions. And I'm going to think, how do I go about that? There are 1,001 things to say, 1,001 ways to go about it. And then a lot of social media things was pumping in my head. But I still was not. But I was asking the Lord. Because you see, I ask God every time, what should I tell you? Always do that. And then while at 10 days ago I already started working on the tracks, I still couldn't put anything down concerning managing distractions. But I wanted to go in a certain way up till 2 days ago. Yes, 2 days ago. And then I was watching online. Then I saw set man begin to go that way, talking about distractions being legitimate and the fact that it's legitimate, still a distraction. It took us to Luke 10:38, and I was telling my wife, I was just sitting down there watching, you know, on the TV, and then I was saying, so Seth man has used 4 scriptures out of what I was thinking in my mind already on this subject. I said, it's exactly just, you know. Then I seemed to hear something from the Holy Spirit that I should talk about, which was what I planned to talk about on Sunday, tomorrow. Talking about keeping on tracks today. I'll keep to time, don't worry. And talk about that tomorrow. But as I was about stepping out of the hotel, I felt God was saying, no, switch it. But you see, this is me. When I'm set, I'm set. So I said, no, this is not God. This is just me thinking. So I came in here, and see, my mind was saying, so I was already made up my mind to keep the track. And not allow the distraction of tomorrow's message. I just stood there. So I was, a while, I mean, I was strong in my mind. After a while, I said, no, I'm keeping a track. So, sister, what's your name, sister? Damilola, God bless you. And so she started to sing. This is mine. This is the air I breathe. I was ready to keep the track. And I thought it was over. Then she began to think, oh Lord, set my heart on fire. Ah. Because what the Lord dropped in my heart to say to us is that there is something that will keep distractions at bay. There is something that will make distractions far from you. We all manage distractions. I do too. Last night I heard said man talking about the fact that we worry over likes and comments to the post we post. And he was talking about me. I had to fight it. So I had to fight it. I'm still fighting it. You know, I wrote a post last night. You know, my posts are to edify, to bless people, to help people. But then I find I wake up in the morning and my heart is going to, how many people have read it? How many people have liked it? So it's a fight we fight. And you must fight that good fight of faith. Now that's one of the scriptures we're using to track, which will be now tomorrow. So tonight, I want to talk about a blaze, a heart on fire for God. When your heart is on fire, those distractions are kept at bay. For me, it's been a little over 30 years of working with the Lord. Since I was a teenager, I'm excited to see my teenage children here this evening. Great people. Always excited to stand in front of great people. Young people who are in Christ. They are our future. And in all of these 31 years thereabout, I have experienced times of fervency and times when it seems the fire has gone down. May your fire never quench. Let me quickly go into it because I have. Fire is a phenomenon. You know, I when I was developing this message, I sat down to think, what state of matter is fire? I have a degree in physics. It's not solid, it's not liquid, it's not gaseous. Scientists say, well, it's closest to plasma, but they cannot really categorize it as plasma. It's just a phenomenon. Fire, a natural phenomenon. Fire was one of the earliest discoveries by mankind. Right from the caveman. I remember elementary science. Told us the caveman picked stones, two stones together, struck them together, and had sparks. I'm going to be seeing some scriptures. First of all, look at natural fire. Because when you see natural fire, the way fire is in the natural, there's a spiritual parallel to it. There are certain uses of fire. I'm just going to mention a few. And first and foremost on my list here is probably the most universal use of fire globally, and that's for cooking. We do it every day. I'm sure you've cooked today. Oh, Pastor, I use hot plates. There's a fire within those elements that is generating the heat to cook your food. Number two is warmth or heat. Heat. Warmth. Three, illumination. Four, refining. I'll explain some of that. Five, refuse disposal. Six, change of state of matter. Okay, no wonder fire itself is neither solid, liquid or gaseous, because it is employed to change the state of a matter itself. the heat generates from solid to liquid. We call that melting. Before a substance can melt from solid to liquid, you have to apply the heat that comes from fire. Before liquid could change to vapor, that's called what? Vaporization. You have to apply heat on fire. I'm going to talk about those things. And I said, there is spiritual fire. When we talk about fire, you know, Jesus, when he walked the earth and he told parables, usually used physical things to drive home spiritual truths. There is a spiritual truth about fire. And scriptures often refer to, for example, in Hosea 7:8, show me that's going to be very fast. In Hosea 7:8, he talks about Hosea being a cake not turned. A cake not turned. In the easy to read version, it says it's a cake not cooked on both sides. In God's Word translation, it says a cake half baked. Right. Which means that Hosea, even though was exposed to fire, he was not exposed to fire enough. His exposure to fire was not thorough. So I cannot imagine Hosea being carried away by certain Ephraim. I can imagine Ephraim being carried away by certain distractions again and again because it's not thoroughly cooked. And the reason it's not thoroughly cooked is because of the exposure, his exposure to fire not being enough. Hallelujah. So we see a scripture validating the fact that fire cooks, or that we ought to be cooked and to be cooked. In Revelation 3, 15 and 16, Jesus is complaining about the church and he said, you people are neither hot nor cold. You are lukewarm. I would prefer if you guys are cold so I know you don't belong to me. Or you are hot, you are really mine. This lukewarmness is not, I will spit you guys out of my mouth. That's heat. Let me run through all this. Let's look at Psalms 12:6, then Malachi 3:3. You know, I'm speeding. So let me see. Psalm 12:6. And Malachi, look how it says. The words of the Lord are pure words like silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Right? Purified. What purifies silver? It's a lot of heat. And it says the word of God is like silver that is tried. Look at Malachi 3:3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. I need to cut to the chase. Hallelujah. Malachi 3:3. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Right? He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Right, the sons of Levi talks about the priesthood. And I'm sure you know that you and I are priests and kings unto God our Father. So there's a refining that we need often. We need a continuous, often refining. We need fire to refine us. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Finally, because I'm really speeding, let's look at change of state. 68 to Psalms 68 to Psalm 97:5. It says a fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The heat melts like wax at the presence of the Lord. Right? Psalm 97:5. A fire goes before him. When God moves, a fire goes. So when we ask for the presence of God, there is fire dimension to God's presence. Hallelujah. And it says that fire, does a number of things. One of it is that it destroys his enemies, but it also says it changes the state of a hill. It melts the hill or the mountains. It changes it and melts it, becomes wax, becomes liquid. Hallelujah. That's why a stony heart like that of Saul of Tarsus can be melted. Hallelujah. when the heat of God comes. He prophesied it in Ezekiel 36. In 36, he said, I'll give you a new spirit. I'll put my spirit in you. He said, I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will take away from you a heart of stone. It is through the application of heat. So sometimes we see some of our brethren, some of our children whose hearts are cold. Spiritual things, they are not. And we're trying to push them. When the fire falls, there will be a change of the state of their heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Lord, let your fire fall on me tonight. When the fire falls, there are certain things we see in our lives. Oh, by the way, when fire processes, you know, Ephraim was uncooked. He was not done. Ephraim no done. Then cook him, but he no done. He was exposed to fire, but the reason he was not well cooked was because the intensity of the fire or the duration of exposure. There are three things that are important in being processed with fire, because sometimes we're exposed to fire and still we are not cooked. One is intensity. I'm going to show you how to stoke fire in a minute. I'm going to show you in a minute. And you're going to see, if you're going to stoke fire, you're going to catch fire, you must catch it. Not just catch small and run away. That's what happened to Ephraim. The intensity of the fire. Two, the duration of exposure. How long are you there? How long? That's why some people will face small challenge, small distraction, they are gone. And yet some others will face small distraction and then they will keep, put their eyes back. They are distracted. They will put their eyes back. They will keep staying in the track. Everybody is exposed to distractions. But not everybody allows distraction to carry them away. And one of the reasons why distraction will not carry you is because you stay. You spend time to let fire catch or engulf your heart. The intensity of the fire, the duration of exposure, and three, exposure to all sides here. How well, you know, it says Ephraim was a cake unturned. Sometimes I fry akara too. And you can fry akara. And one side is badly burnt. You are distracted a little. And by the time you come back there, that side is badly burnt. And yet the other side is uncooked. Why? You did not expose that heat to both sides or all the sides. Sometimes people expose the fire of God to a certain aspect of their life. But to some other aspect, God, don't go there. What's the nature of fire? Well, when we say you caught fire. One, you are passionate. Somebody say passion. Oh, come on, say passion. Passion for God and for spiritual things. Who see that passion? Everybody can see fire. When the fire is not seen, you see, I said the other time, your fire will not go out. Your fire will not go out in Jesus' name. But then there's a level of fire. In the temple, in Eli's dispensation, the fire was almost going out. It hadn't gone out, but because it was low in intensity, there were a number of things that were going wrong. His own offspring were already living the lives of the sons of Belial because the fire was getting low. But thank God for Samuel. Samuel was raised and Samuel brought the fire up again. Passion for God. Zealous number two, zealous service for God. That's fine. I have a lot of things. Soul winning, serving in the church ministry, serving God with your finances, serving God with prayer. Look at the woman, Anna. She devoted herself. Oh my. If I can pray 10% of the way, Anna, 84 years, night and day, praying the will of God in the temple. Let's quickly go to how to catch fire. How do we catch the fire? There are two ways to catch fire. One is right from the source. That's the first way to catch fire. How do you do that? You strike a match. the source. You generate that fire. But sometimes, the second way to catch fire is to, how did I pen it? Let me see. Have I penned it here? Is to get it from a burning lamp. A lamp that is already burning. You may not even have the matches initially. You may not have the lighter. But you see a lamp that is already burning. So you, Yoruba will say, Oloyana. Hallelujah. In John 5:35, in reference to John, the Bible says it was a burning and shining light, and you were happy. You rejoiced in his light for a season. Because when you go to an already established burning light to get light, it's for a season. You don't rely on it forever. You catch the fire yourself, and then you begin to run the fire with the fire. Hallelujah. So how do we catch it? Number one, you stoke light. You strike a match. Fire is lighted. Very simple things. Basic things. We are here to refresh. We are here to renew. And we must return. I said my walk is 31 years. There are times I've gone away from the rail. I jacked myself back. Very, very fundamental. Daily meditation in the Word. Meditation in the Word daily. Make sure. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to observe all that is written therein. And then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. When you do what? You make sure it doesn't depart from your mouth, but you meditate day and night. A lot of us have not meditated one day in 2024. This is June the 15th. Halfway. Oh, Pastor, no, I read the Bible every day. I follow the daily outline and I read the Bible. That's good. That's very good. But it did not say this book of the law shall not depart out of your mind or your eyes. Well, it shouldn't depart of your eyes or your mind too. But you shall read it day and night. Meditate. Think on the scripture. As you start the process of meditation, it is igniting fire in your heart. Somebody say meditate. And what it means is to simply read, thinking on what you are reading. Somebody say, Pastor, I've not heard the voice of God before. God has not spoken to me before. I say, just meditate in the word. Just start asking questions as you are reading. Don't be in a rush. Ask questions. Read. Ask questions. You will have answer. Who do you think is talking to you? Number two. So fundamental, you will laugh at me for coming all the way from America to tell you this. Daily worship praises. In your closet, you are stoking fire. Consistency. Number three, daily praying in the spirit. Daily praying in the spirit. Even if you don't feel anything, you don't have to feel anything. Just keep, you know when you want to strike a match, sometimes you keep striking. Even the sound itself is dry. Strike, strike. Sometimes you strike and it doesn't come out. Keep striking. Keep striking. Nobody lights a match. Nobody lights a fire when he gives up on the match. The people who light the fire are those who continue to strike even when they don't get that light. And they keep striking. Striking. Hallelujah. Number whatever it is. Witnessing to others. Witnessing ministry to others. I'm telling you from my walk, there were times that I saw that it's like the fire is down. And by stroke of whatever, I had the opportunity to minister to people. The fire engulfed again. I don't mean ministry to people by coming on the pulpit. I'm talking. No. I'm talking of my younger days when I did not have a microphone to hold. Say to those who are brokenhearted, do not be afraid. That's a ministry for every believer. The Lord your God is here with his mighty hand. When you call on his name, tell somebody, tell your colleague, tell your classmate, tell your neighbor. As you do that fire that is burning small, small inside you will be stoked. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Oh, ye device, do not Right. You know, another way I discovered that stokes my fire is by listening to audio Bible. Sometimes I'm taking a walk and I'm on one chapter back to back. I mean, I've listened to it 30 times before I return, 50 minutes later. Just listening. It's stirring something within me. When Paul said to Timothy, fan the flame. If there were things, audio Bible, I'm sure Timothy would have told Timothy, listen to audio Bible. All right. Now, that's to stoke the fire by yourself. How about if you want to get it from a burning lamp? Look for a lamp that is burning. You know your fire is low. You know you need fire. Let me tell you one of the ways. Because, of course, listen to audio messages of people that are on fire, not people who are telling stories that is not anointed. There are anointed stories. Jesus told and tells a lot of stories in the Gospels. Anointed. It will bond you. It will raise a fire. Watch video clips. Was it yesterday? I was looking for something. I was trying to encourage someone, you know, and someone who was going on a 40 days fast to her 40th birthday and fell sick along the line, and there's 20 something days. So I was trying to let her know. I told her about 25 years ago when I was younger than this. I was fasting. God told me to go on a fast. One more day to the end of the fast, I was going to faint. I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm going to eat too. I went to eat. I thought he was going to be angry with me. That night, I had an experience I've not had in 25 years since. He came and enveloped me and told me, oh, Pastor Jimmy, look, I need you alive. So I was looking for a video to encourage you, because I came across that video like 3 or 4 days ago. So I went to the person's page and I couldn't find the video. But in a bit of looking for the video, I saw so many other clips, short clips. And it raised my fire. Listen to anointed worship music back to back. Anointed worship music back to back, back to back. Just keep listening back to back. Put on repeat. It's not every song. Every song I've heard there tonight, wonderful anointed songs. In fact, Setna, you came up and a song, I don't think I've sang this song in maybe 15 years or more, maybe 20 years. In fact, I can't even remember again. What is it again? I will remember it when I go back and watch the clip. Yeah, to you we give all the praise. Oh, one of my all-time favorites in the 90s. Listen to another watch back to back. Read books, attend conferences like this. Now finally, listen to this one. I've not heard or seen this one anywhere. I discovered it myself when I needed fire. Pray with somebody who has fire. When my prayer life hit rocks some time ago, and I was a pastor, and I wasn't praying. You know, it was a candy stating that says, is the anointing. And she says, you can't live without him once he's resting upon you. If you've tasted the anointing before, if you've seen gold, and you're carrying brass, and everybody's hailing brass, you will know that this is brass, not gold. So I sought people who had gold. I sought them. Sometimes they are even my subordinates. I'll say, let's pray. Yeah. Young men with fire, with zeal. I had a lot of them around me. My young men, I was praying. I'll say, okay, 2 of you, we're going to pray 5 days. 2 hours. And I will catch fire somewhere in the second day or the first day. Usually the first day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are simple things that when you do, remember, you must expose yourself for a long period of time. And your exposure must be intense. Hallelujah. What happens when you are engulfed, when you are on fire for God? A lot of those things you used to do that will distract you, and you will sit there, you will sit with tabernacle there, you lose taste for them. Hallelujah. You lose taste. You lose taste for sitting down and just reading nonsense story on social media for 3 hours, 4 hours. Before you know it, time has gone. You lose taste for reading all the messages on that your old boys' WhatsApp group. I've been there. Old student WhatsApp group. All kinds of, and then you read every message. Nonsense there. Just arguing or not. You lose taste for it because you're on fire. Let's rise up on our feet tonight. 5 minutes. Let's rise up on our feet tonight. I want you to lift your hands to heaven and say, Lord, set my heart on fire. I didn't just sing a song. I want an experience. Tell him, set my heart on fire tonight. I've been to conferences. I've been to meetings. That in just a few minutes, boom, something drops on me. Say, Lord, tonight, my heart, set me on fire for you. If there's anybody who came in here since the beginning of this meeting, if that person was cold before, as long as he has the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit in him, something will have begun to stir. You've been here coming on Thursday. Say, Lord, I want to be engulfed in a bigger inferno. Let's pray, let's pray. Let's lift our voices. Mahashita, Bakelozeberia, Ekedozabra. Let's lift our voices. The book of Acts says they lifted up their voices in one accord. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:8, he said, and I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Let's pray. Lord, fire. My children, ask for fire. You don't know the dimension of the fire. I wish we had time tonight. There are dimensions of expression of fire. Dimensions. Endless dimensions. I like that t-shirt. Endless. Endless dimensions of expression of the fire. Say, Lord, engulf my heart with fire. That fire that God engulfs your heart with tonight will tell in years to come. In years to come, we will see the impact of the fire. Say, Lord, fire that will burn away the dross. It says silver is refined by fire. What comes out of silver when fire burns? It's called dross. All those dots, yama yama, all those irrelevancies. Say, Lord, let your fire burn in me. Let me lose taste for worldly things. Let me lose taste for the things that carry my heart away from your throne. Let your fire burn. Let your fire burn. Come on, say, let your fire burn in me tonight. Tell him, let your fire burn. Let your fire burn. Let your fire burn in me tonight. Let your fire burn, let your fire burn. Let your fire burn in me tonight. Let your fire burn, let your fire burn. Oh, let your fire burn in me tonight. I present my body, my spirit and my soul. Let your fire burn in me tonight. Keep praying. Let your fire burn, let your fire burn. Let your fire burn in me tonight. Lord, and God, get a bowl, shake the basin. Let your doctor, Frebo, shake the legadusa. There are things I did not touch in this law. When I was studying, the Lord showed me. One of the things that happened when fire begins to burn. In that Psalm 97, verse 5, it says, in verse 1, a fire goes before him and burns off all his enemies. The enemies of God are burnt off when the fire of God is burning in your life. Some of the enemies of God are that sickness in your body. That pain, that discomfort begins to burn away. Tonight, let's say, I don't know if there's anything in your body. You need the fire of God to burn it out tonight. Say, Lord, let your fire course through my being. Let it course through my being. Let it burn every dross, every rubbish. Refuse, let them burn away. Let them burn away. Even sicknesses, pains, diseases, burn away in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Bring it down a little. There's a young man here. You are in the house, but there's a medical condition in your system, and you have actually thought that that's the way you will manage it for a long time. You are young. You're quite young. and the Lord is burning it off completely now. The next time you go for a test, it will not be found. It will not be found. It just goes. Oh boy. My second son. Time. My second son is not here tonight. This is the first. When he was born, at the daycare, maybe about 7-8 weeks after I was born, they pointed my attention to something. He had a swollen scrotum. Do you know this testimony? You know it's okay now. Okay, I wrote it sometime. The swollen scrotum, and they went to the hospital, and so was scheduled for a surgery. You know, the doctors said it was hydrocele. You know, because others say it's hydrocele, some say it was hernia. You know, so they said scheduling for a surgery. So he went through the surgery before the age of one, was it? Or was one plus? It's the mom that had him. And then it was not corrected, sir. After the surgery, after a while, we saw that it was persistent. So we took him back to the hospital. They said, oh, maybe he coughed soon after. I said, but you should have told us that he's not supposed to cough soon after the surgery. Okay, so they scheduled him for a second surgery. Before the age of three, he went through the second surgery. You see, meanwhile, I'm a man of faith. I believe God. I believe his word. Hallelujah. When this young man was born, oh boy, I was thinking of all these things. I'm writing. When this man was born, his right hand was deformed. It wasn't deformed, but it was while he was being pulled out of the womb. Dr. Aigoro was the past head of service in Ogun State. 20 years ago, he wasn't. He was a consultant in the state hospital. Dr. Aigoro told me when we referred to him. So we took him, Dr. Graham. Dr. Aigoro told me, he said, it's called Erb's palsy, ERB. And he explained to me, he didn't know I knew physics, but he used elasticity to explain to me. He said, you know, it's like the elastic limit of a substance, that when that substance reaches the elastic limit, you know what's after the elastic limit is the breaking point, right? He said, we have to have a lot of physiotherapy sessions, and all that was before his naming ceremony. Because on his naming ceremony, one of my friends, who's a physiotherapist, came around, and I told her what was going on. And I asked for her professional advice. And she said, okay, we should continue to go to physiotherapists every week and not miss the... I don't miss the appointment. And that, she said, so I said, I want to know. She said with me, how long will it take before the hand is fully restored? She said, well, with a lot of faith and prayer. Naming ceremony was going on. People were dancing. But if you watch the video, which I've not watched yet, I'm sure you see us talking. And then she said, with a lot of faith and prayers, maybe anything from 7 months above, with a lot of faith and prayers. Without faith and prayer, uncle. Sir, I stand before God and his people. It took 3 weeks. Why? We took him to the physiotherapist. They started the session. They gave us the ointment to rub every day. And they put the hand in a cast. In fact, on that naming ceremony, his hand was already in a cast. Not the cast that you can't remove. It's a splint, or what is that called? So we'll remove, have bathing, taught us how to do it back. But every morning, when the mother and the grandmother are bathing him in the room, I will be present. The minute they finish bathing him, I will start my own. I will take that right hand and I begin to speak to it. And as I usually use scriptures, especially Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37 was when God took Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones. And Lord, they were very dry. They were very many. And he said, can these bones live? He said, Lord, only you know. He said, son of man, prophesy. And I will prophesy as I was commanded. And bone came to bone, sinew to sinew, flesh to flesh. And I kept doing that every morning. Every morning. Every morning. Every morning. Every month. In fact, later on, I realized that I should have doubled the dose. I should have been doing it morning and evening. It would have taken probably 7 days. What they said with the Lord of faith and prayer would take 8 months. 3 weeks. I saw him just move one finger. Then I remember Elijah. He sent his servant to go and check whether it's raining. 7 times. He went. He came back and said, I saw something like this. I saw something small like the hand of man. When God is moving, sometimes it looks like the hand of man. Elijah said, that's it. So when I saw that figure, I said, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Remove the cast. So I went to the physiotherapist. Cut a long story short. If he blow you with this right hand now, When they were younger, we used to do Boxing Day. The four of us, among us. We boxing it. December 26th, we used to box ourselves. When I saw that their own is now more than my own, I stopped it by fiat. I said, it's not scriptural. Stop it. So the second, so we've already had that experience. But this one, we prayed. We fasted. We commanded. We confessed. Nothing. So we went for surgery. Second time, surgery. After the second surgery, before the age of 3, I came back, not corrected. So I resumed speaking, talking. Oh, by the time I was doing the second surgery, the neighbor, the boy on the bed beside him came for the same thing. He was 12 years old. The parents said they saw him. He's had it since he was small, but they waited for him to be 12 before they did the surgery. So I said, maybe I should wait until he's 12 so that at least maybe his tendons or muscles are stronger or whatever. And maybe to stay. So when he was approaching 12, I remember, what is it what we're praying? The frequency of the confession and prayer reduced, you know. I mean, it's not 3 weeks. Years. No change. Nothing. And the boy was growing. At 10, he went to boarding school. They went together to boarding school at the age of 10. He told me that he was 10. He were, whatever, 13 or so. He told me that he would have his bath because the bathroom was a private school. But at least, how many of you used the bathroom at the time? 3 or 4? He said he never used to remove his boxers because he didn't want them to see. He was now getting conscious. I was concerned. In fact, I was concerned beyond that. To things they probably don't know. I was already praying about his fertility in future as a husband and father. I was praying about it. Anyway, to cut a long story short, 2 years ago, he was 15, right? 17 now. 2 years ago, he was 15. I was in a meeting. And in that meeting, I wasn't the preacher. I was just in congregation. There was a preacher. And, you know, he was making some calls by the Spirit of God. And I said, I wish I brought this boy here. So I just prayed. I just received for him. So I went home that night. I got home. Nearly I got home that night. I just went straight into my study and I called him. You know, he's a big boy now, and I've not checked that thing in years. So I said, all right, you're going to strip for me. Don't be shy. Please strip. I want to examine. Because I believed where I was praying that something has happened. That's how my boy dropped his boxers. And I saw the finest specimen of manhood. Not a trace. Not even a scar of the previous surgeries. Now listen. I was shocked. So I said, can't you see? He said yes. I said, when did it happen? He said, I noticed this some months ago. It wasn't even the meeting of the night of. I said, you didn't tell me. He just shrugged it off. That the guy can be like that. When exactly? I don't know. But fire melted it. Fire. Let's lift our hands. I speak into your life tonight that the fire of God will go into you and in your soul, we burn away the dross, the rubbish, the nyama-nyama, the dirt, the refuse. In your soul, let the fire of God burn it away in the name of Jesus. But fire does beyond that. I declare the fire will burn away sicknesses from your body in the name of Jesus. No matter what the sickness is, no matter what the disease is, no matter what the pain is, no matter what the discomfort is, let the fire of God burn it away in the name of Jesus. Let it be destroyed completely out of your system tonight in the name of Jesus. There will be no traces of it anymore. Not a single trace. Because you will testify. You will testify in Jesus' name.